creating and rekindling memories. NHR.
You know, the beginning bit of that, every time you hear the beginning bit of that, you just see that little circle with all the doves flying round it, you do, which is the start of The Good Life. And The Good Life is being performed on stage at the Duchess Theatre by Riverside Drama, Thursday the 12th to Saturday the 14th of March. That's this week. And they're, at the moment, they're doing their get-in at the Lace Market, not the Lace Market Theatre, the Duchess Theatre, for goodness sake. They don't want to be doing it there. The Duchess Theatre, The Good Life. And I'm very pleased to say that on the other end of the phone is the director, Celia Bilow. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Kev. Yes, it's a busy day today, as I say, with the get-in going on.
Oh, definitely. What time were you there this morning then at the Duchess?
Say, who's there?
No, what time did you get there this morning?
What time? Oh, we got there just before 9, so we've got flats and things arriving, and Bob, our builder, he's got the doors and whatnot to fit in, and then we've all been arriving with cars full of all the stuff that makes up the goods kitchen and the Ledbetter's living room on stage.
Ah, I was going to talk about that as well. So it's a sort of split stage, and it's, I suppose, as you see it on the TV, because really, apart from the outside shots, you just see really the sort of the goods house and the Ledbetter's house, and that's all you need really in it. So I must say, I'm a massive fan of The Good Life, and the Ledbetter's house, it is so full of all sorts of stuff. What's the props like for, first of all, the Ledbetter's house, because they have gorgeous house and so much in there.
I know, and we have to stage a dinner party, so there is all the effluvia of a dinner party, which carries on from the aperitifs of twiglets and cheeselets right the way through to the Tia Maria for the ladies, and everything else in between. So, yes, a hell of a lot of props, and the stage dressing, of course, we've tried to keep in the 70s, so that it represents a typical 70s household, which some of our people can't remember.
Well, neither can I, you know, but and I'm sure that you can't, you know, it's just good research on your part.
So. This is it.
The Good Life started in 1975 on there. And
yes.
The wonderful thing about timing is that yesterday on, I think it was You and Gold or something like that, they had, it was a two-hour show of The Good Life, and looking behind the scenes and chatting to the actors who are still with us. And that really put me in the mood for this morning, really, because I do love the show.
It's 50 years. It's the anniversary, isn't it, to 2025 anyway.
Yeah.
It was 50 years since it came out. And so that's why the programme was made. And, of course, Penelope Keith was fronting that and narrating and reminiscing about all the funny moments that she had. And what a marvellous character she made as well with Margot.
Oh,
it was a classic,
absolutely,
wasn't it?
Yeah. So is this a new stage play, or is it based on some of the episodes from the original TV series?
It's kind of an amalgam of probably about 3 or 4 different episodes with the significant scenes that happened in those episodes. And it's all mushed into one stage play. So it's quite fast moving in that sense that we've got different scenes that portray these things. But essentially, the script is based on the TV series. So the audience will probably remember some of the lines that were used exactly as they were in the TV series.
Now, I know that there's been some very successful TV sitcoms that have been made into plays, like The Vicar of Dibley and 40 Towers and stuff like that. How does the stage play for you sort of match with what we see on TV?
Yeah, it's difficult because obviously we can't have any outdoor scenes. So I have to warn the audience, there's no allotment garden going to appear on the stage. So it is all interior scenes. But the main thing, I think, is that our audiences would probably remember Richard Briers, Penelope Keith, Paul Eddington and Felicity Kendall. And of course, we haven't got those people. We've got our own actors. And I'd like to think that they bring their own special significant charm to those particular roles. And they are different from the actors that we all remember from the TV series.
And I suppose that the actors that you've got there as well, I mean, they're brilliant actors. And the Goods and the Ledbetters, they've all got their own so very special personalities and little foibles and everything. And so
that's right.
They are bringing those sort of characters of the Ledbetters and the Goods to the stage, which I am sure that everybody will recognise them as well. And I suppose one thing that will make them instantly recognisable are the costumes as well, and especially Margot's costumes. So posh, those frocks, weren't they?
Absolutely. Yes, very. Well, I know that Lizzie Norris, who's playing the part of Margot, has gone to quite a lot of trouble to recreate some of those dresses that are very flouncy, are very elaborate. Vinted has done very well out of us, let me say that.
And I suppose as well that she's got that. What's that thing that she wears on her head? I don't know what you call them.
What? Margot wears?
Yeah.
A tiara? I don't know.
No, I don't know. I saw it last night on the box, but we'll see anyway. So, there's no outdoor scenes, but do we get to see Geraldine the Goat?
We do get to see Geraldine the Goat, yes. It was one of the initial was, when you're looking at the script and you're thinking, how can we do this? And that was one of the initial barriers that we thought, how are we going to do about this? So I, as the director, I said, is anybody up to making a goat? Who would like to volunteer for that? And nobody put their hands up. So inevitably, it landed on me to make Geraldine the Goat. And so we've got a puppeteer who works Geraldine the Goat. I don't want to give too much away because I'd like the audience to see it and go, that looks just like a goat. But not quite, because we couldn't train a goat in the time that we've got available. So a real goat doesn't appear on stage.
No, and how many goats do you get on Equity? Not many at all. So, the 70s, 80s sort of humour in The Good Life, has that faded at all throughout the years? And does it still come through as strong on stage as it did on the TV?
I think it's perfect for today's audiences as well, because to be honest, I don't tend to watch sitcoms in this day and age. I don't tend to get into them, but I certainly was into the sitcoms of that era. Oh dear, I'm giving my age away now, aren't I?
No, well, you and but, me both.
And I just think the writing is so funny, and it's all the way through. It's not just the one-liners at the end of a scene. It's all the way through. The lines are just really funny, and they encapsulate the relationships between the characters and the kind of the madness that goes on with this incredibly different, contrasting household. One that's very, very posh and, having to follow mainstream, going to work and getting Surbiton. Surbiton, it's still based in Surbiton. And it's all about the neighbourhood looking nice and everybody having to tend their gardens so as not to let the neighbourhood down. And then this one couple that live in a house that they've turned over to an allotment and keep livestock and have cockerels crowing in the morning and pigs chuntering around in the garden and so on and so on. So it's a massive contrast. And I guess it's that unexpected in a way that you wouldn't expect that sort of thing to happen in Surbiton.
And that show was so ahead of its time. When you think of now, we all recycle, we're all sort of trying to be a little bit more self-sufficient with probably growing vegetables in your garden. I mean, I can remember my dad used to have the back garden and it was sort of potatoes, carrots, cabbages, the whole lot. And now we seem to be going back to those times. It really was ahead of its time, wasn't it, that sitcom?
It was, yes. And this idea of being self-sufficient with energy, that they were actually composting and burning the fuel to make their energy. I had a generator and all sorts of things. I mean, it doesn't go into the finite details of how these sort of things work, but you could imagine that people could become self-sufficient if they managed to generate their own energy. And I mean, there's certain things that, you know, practically you couldn't be self-sufficient. You need to have the water supply that comes from your Severn Trent or wherever.
Yeah.
But there's an awful lot of things that you can reuse and make yourself. And yeah, I think we do that quite a bit these days with recycling, and also charity shops and places like Vinted yeah. that are recycling old clothing. So, yeah, we've gone for that sort of 70s look, but it did mean that it was recycled clothes very often. And then in certain situations, they had to put inserts because, of course, they were flares in the 70s. So people wore their trousers very baggy, which, of course, has almost come back again, hasn't it? But it's a different shape now. They're more sort of parallel baggy. But in those days, in the 70s, it was a slim line down the leg and then flaring out at the bottom of, you know, over your shins. So we've tried to recreate that as best we can.
And I'm sort of, in tribute to The Good Life, I've got my flares on today. So it's a
good
job.
Good. Yeah.
It's a good job it's radio and people cannot see. And another lovely thing that they did back in that sitcom was getting away from the rat race and, you know, Tom giving up his job at the office to do all this
yes.
as well. What a great dream that was. If only we could all do that.
Yeah.
But
never mind.
Let me ask you a question.
I think there's a lovely line in it, which I think sums up that kind of ideal. And that is when Tom says, so we have to work doing something we absolutely hate in order to buy the things we really don't need.
Yeah.
And I thought that kind of encapsulates modern life, doesn't it?
Oh,
you know, that we put ourselves into that position to work hard all our lives for what, you know, just so as we can buy the next piece of furniture or go on holiday or whatever. It's this hamster wheel, isn't it, that a lot of people get into.
Yeah, it's a great script. So I know that people are going to love this. If they love the TV show, they're going to love this play. So let me just ask you something.
Yes, they will.
Which sitcom of the 70s and 80s would you love to see turned into a stage play? Because so many now have been sort of done that way. Which one would you love to see as a stage play?
Crikey, there's quite a few out already, aren't there?
Yeah.
I was watching the Good Life Remembered, and they mentioned about the writer who he did Please Sir,
yes,
with John Alderton. That was a good one, wasn't it? And there was another one which I can't bring to mind at the moment, but those sort of sitcoms, they were winners, weren't they, on the TV? It was a half hour of escapism and lots of belly laughs very often with those things.
And the good thing about it is that we're still talking about those sitcoms from the 60s and 70s today, and I'm just thinking how many sitcoms... to tell you the truth, I can't really name any sitcoms from today's TV, to even talk about in the future. But which, again, shows just how good the writing and the actors were back in the 60s and 70s. So,
yeah, I guess you another example, I guess, is Dad's Army. And that, of course, still shows out on one of the old channels. I think it still comes on BBC Two sometimes as well. But it's almost timeless, isn't it, with the humour?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it all goes down to the great writers that we had back in those days as well. So,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. If people want a slice of The Good Life, then they can... I know, it's so corny, aren't I? nip on down to the Duchess Theatre this week, Thursday the 12th to Saturday the 14th. So you've only got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days get some of this. Pop on down to Surbiton and see what it's all about. It's a brilliant comedy, and I guarantee you'll leave that theatre with your cheeks aching. And it's not because of the seats, it's because you'll be laughing. So, where can people get tickets from, Celia?
Well, they could go online, but I have to be honest, Thursday night is virtually sold out now. There's one or two seats left on Friday and Saturday, but they may be singles. So if it was a party of a group of people, then they may have to split up. But we're very happy to sell out on all three nights.
Absolutely.
If we possibly can.
Absolutely.
So go online to Ticketsource, I think via the website of the Duchess Theatre, and you can go to the link to Ticket Source and you can book online, and it's £12 for a ticket.
Cheap at half the price. Take the whole family and they'll love it to bits. So, Celia, thank you so much. I'm going to let you get back to getting on with the get in.
Thank you.
We'll see you down there next week. I can't wait. Thanks, Celia.
Oh, brilliant. Look forward to seeing you, Kev.
Cheers, Celia. Bye-bye.
You know, the one thing that we are always looking for at NHR is willing volunteers. Whether it's presenting a show, visiting the wards, fundraising, or many other roles that we have, it's bound to be a rewarding experience. On top of that, you'll be having a positive impact on the time that people spend in hospital. So log on to nhradio.org.uk and go to the contact page and find out how you can get involved with us here at Nottingham Hospitals Radio.